I want to talk to you this morning. This is the way the Lord's moved this whole service, but that's how good God is. I want to talk to you about being under the blood. Being under the blood. And being under the blood is about being covered with something. I remember a time in my life when, and Marilyn, you'll remember this. I remember a time in my life when we didn't have insurance. We couldn't afford it. And some of you may, some of you may be there. We walk in different places in our life in different seasons. But we went through a long period of time without health insurance. And we just trusted God. Amen. We just had to trust the Lord. And He saw us through everything. But we didn't have that covering, that you didn't feel that covering that you have. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not covered by the blood of Jesus, I can't imagine what that feels like. I would not want to be walking in this world today and not be covered by the blood of Jesus. It makes me shudder and tremble to think that I would not be covered by His blood. Amen? I want you to know you need to be under the blood. Amen? And not only that you have made that commitment to be under the blood of Jesus, but that you are consciously aware that you're under the blood. And that you know and you actively understand the power of being under the blood of Jesus, because being under the blood brings something else. And it brings and releases a power in your life that I want you to see this morning. So our first verse of scripture is out of the book of Leviticus. This is the Old Testament. And it's in the book of Leviticus chapter 14. If you have a Bible, if you'd like to turn there, we have the scripture on the screens. So we're going to look at that together. And the priest will then take some of the blood of the guilt offering. And let me preface this verse. This is the cleansing of the leper. Leprosy in the Bible is a type and shadow of sin. And a person is eat up with leprosy and is eat up with sin. We've all seen pictures of what sin does to people. Amen. You see what a life of, sometimes we kind of want to fight with God because we think God's taking stuff away from us. You know, like God doesn't want us to enjoy life. And if you would stop and think about everything that God has created in the world, that He made, God meant for you to enjoy life. He created a beautiful world full of beautiful things, and He meant for you to enjoy life. But the enemy has perverted so much of it that what we call enjoying life is not enjoying life at all. Because I deal with people whose lives are ravaged by sin. And I see what it does to them. And they're not enjoying life. Living for the devil is a lot harder than living for God. He's a hard taskmaster. And his ultimate goal is to destroy you. And that's what leprosy does. So when we're in a life of sin, it's like we're filled with leprosy. So the priest will take some of the blood of the guilt offering and apply it to the lobe of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot of the person being purified. So the blood was put on the right ear, was put on the right thumb, and the big toe on the right foot. It seems strange, but there was a purpose behind it. And then after the blood was applied, the priest will pour some of the olive oil into the palm of his own left hand. So he put blood on the leper, on his ear, on his hand, on his toe, and then he poured oil in his hand. And our next verse, verse 17, I want you to look at in that same chapter, says, the priest will then apply some of the oil in his palm over the blood. You see that? First was the blood, and then the oil. The oil was applied over the blood from the guilt offering on the right ear, on the right hand, and on the big toe. So first he put blood on the right ear, he put blood on the right hand, and he put blood on the big toe. Then he put oil on the right ear, he put oil on the right hand, and he put oil on the right foot or big toe. So first came the blood and then the oil. And the first thing I want to talk about is first came the blood. First came the blood. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that there is a river of blood flowing today because there's life in that. And I ask you to speak to our hearts. And I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you draw us closer to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know what the answer to the ills of the world today? It's the blood of Jesus. I know it's 2019, it's almost 2020, and we live in an ultra-modern age, and everything's moving at a really fast pace. And I know they say we're in this postmodern Christianity and things are changing and words like redemption and sin are kind of archaic and we kind of call them other things and we've gotten to where we try to really be cool with church. But I'm kind of old school and I know there's still a thing called sin, but I also know there's still a thing called the blood. And I know the blood of Jesus is the answer to the problems that people are facing. That blood that was given. And the blood, we see that blood being applied. The first place they're put under the blood was being applied at the Passover when Moses came to the children of Israel and they were in bondage and they were in Egypt. And God was about to deliver them out. And he said, here's what you need to do. You need to put the blood on the door. And you need that blood is a covering. It will put you under the blood because judgment is coming. How many of you know judgment is coming? So you need to be under the blood. He says, so putting the blood on the doorpost of your house puts you under the blood. It puts you under a covering. It gives you that insurance that God loves you and he protects you. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that word we get called Passover, but that word, the Hebrew word actually meant that God would abide or dwell or hover over wherever he sees the blood. That's where God dwells. Did you see the oil being applied over the blood? Amen. So God, where the blood is, where we have connected ourselves to the blood of Jesus, the presence of the Lord manifests itself where the blood is. That's good. And so when I see the blood, I will pass. So judgment came that night, and where the blood was, they were protected. Their homes were guarded because they were under the blood. When Rahab was in Jericho and the spies came and she hid them. And the Bible says she said why? She said, I know that your God is a great God and that he's going to give you deliverance and he's going to give you this city. She believed more than all the people of Israel did. Rahab was a prostitute in the city of Jericho. But she said, I've heard about all the great things your God has done. And she said, I believe. And they told her, they said, when we come and we surround the city and God gives the city to our hand, he will protect you. And what did they tell her to do? To tie a scarlet cord on the window. What was she doing? That scarlet cord was a symbol, a type, a shadow of the blood. Amen? It was the same. It was just like Passover. It was just like putting blood on your window, putting blood on your door, putting blood on your house, putting a covering. And when the children of Israel came and they marched around the city and they blew the trumpets and they shouted, Yahweh! And the Bible says the walls of Jericho fell. And when the walls fell and the dust cleared, the Bible says there was one part of the wall that was left standing. And it was the home of Rahab and her family, because the Bible says her house was connected to the wall. And that and they could look up and see that scarlet cord hanging in the window. And putting yourself under the blood of Jesus, putting yourself under the blood means simply this. My debt is paid once and for all. Amen. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. He bore your sin and my sin. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin, from salvation. What will the blood do for me? Number one, it pays your debt because you can't pay it. Amen. There's nothing you could ever do to pay it. So what will the blood do for me? I am justified. You know what justified means? Just as if it never happened. Or another way of putting it, Romans 5:9 says, much more than having now been justified by his blood. Our debts have been paid. We have been justified. Justified means declared righteous. What else did the blood do for me? It forgave me. I am forgiven. In him, Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What else did it do for me? I am spared from God's wrath. Romans 5:9 says, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we are saved from the wrath of God. What else did the blood do for me? It tells me that I have the power to overcome the enemy. Revelation says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. What else did the blood do for me? Galatians 3 tells me that I'm no longer under the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Ephesians 1:7 says, I have been reclaimed from the enemy. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. I have gained the unmerited favor of God. I have been declared righteous. My redemption will never perish. I am free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. You are no longer condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I can proclaim total victory because the Bible says we have been made to be overcomers. The blood, putting myself under the blood, did all of that for me. And it also says that I can enter into the Holy of Holies. I can come into the very presence of God because I'm not sideways with God. I'm not at odds with God because I'm covered in the blood. That's why it's so important to, they used to use an old phrase, plead the blood. But that's a legal term. And it's just like if you plead innocent or you plead guilty or you plead the fifth. When the enemy shows up with guilt, when the enemy shows up with shame, when the enemy shows up with condemnation, you just square your shoulders up and say, I plead the blood. And what you're saying is the blood speaks for me. The blood covers me. The blood takes care of me. The blood is my insurance. The blood does it. The blood does it. The blood. The power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. No wonder the songwriter wrote, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. Amen. Amen. William Cowper wrote that song. He was a drug addict, opium addict, and was on the verge of taking his own life, and in Paris stood on the banks of the Seine River and cried out, I don't know if there's a God or not, but if there's a God in heaven, I need you right now. And the heavens opened up and God came and showered him with his presence, and he turned around and wrote that song, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Ask your neighbor, are you covered? And I'm not talking about State Farm. And I'm not talking about Nationwide. And I'm not talking about Allstate. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. You're in good hands with Allstate. Well, you're in good hands with God. Amen. State Farm says, like a good neighbor, they will be there. Well, God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Amen. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Listen to me. If there's no blood, there's no salvation. If there's no blood, there's no justification. If there's no blood, there's no deliverance. If there's no blood, there's no sanctification. If there's no blood, there's no oil. If there's no blood, there's no power. If there's no blood, there's no anointing. If there's no blood, there's no peace. If there's no blood, there's no authority. If there's no blood, there's no joy. If there's no blood, there's no protection. You put yourself and your family under the blood of Jesus. Amen. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, I love the blood. The precious blood. It's precious. The precious blood of Jesus. Years ago when that movie, The Passion, came out, and I went the night we went to see it, the theater was absolutely packed, and we had one of those seats kind of way up front where you're looking at the screen kind of like that, you know? I mean, I was really close to the screen. But I wept through the whole thing. I couldn't do anything but cry because I kept seeing the blood of Jesus. It was brutal. But the blood was squeezed out of that body for the world. He gave his all. But then we read the passage, and here's the next thing I want you to see, and I'm going to close. First came the blood, then came the oil. Amen? And you know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. Without the blood, there will not be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is where the blood is. First comes cleansing, then comes the power. First comes the blood, then comes the glory. First comes Passover, then comes Pentecost. First comes the cross, then comes the upper room. The blood is first. And when you get that on you and you get yourself under the blood of Jesus, and I'm talking about supernaturally the blood of Jesus. It's hard for Jesus talked about his body. He talked about his body, the bread of life. And he talked about, will you eat of my body, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood? And people were disgusted and got up and left. Because they didn't know what he was talking about. And this is, you know, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, will you go too? And this is one time Peter really came through. And he said, Lord, where can we go? Who else has the words of life? And Jesus was just talking about the power of that broken body and that shed blood and of us partaking of it. We're not literally taking blood. It's supernaturally applied. Amen? So the Holy Spirit answers to the blood. The Holy Spirit honors the blood. The Holy Spirit testifies to the blood. The Holy Spirit waits for the blood. First it's the blood, then it's the oil. He said, when I see the blood, I will abide. I will dwell there. Hallelujah. And then the Holy Spirit comes and abides. There are few things more precious than the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was very young, I remember one time riding my bicycle. I was maybe 11 or 12 years old, and I was going somewhere riding my bicycle, and the presence of the Lord just was so strong. I remember pulling off the sidewalk and getting off my bike and kneeling down in the grass and the presence of God. And I remember just kneeling there and the presence of the Lord just saturating me. And I have these times. It happens to me sometimes when I'm driving down the road. I've had to pull off the road because just the presence of God would get so strong. You know, it just the presence, the presence, the presence. Hallelujah. And the presence comes where the blood is. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you've put your faith in the blood of Jesus and the work of Jesus, He will come and He will sanction that with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, there will be power, there will be patience, there will be freedom, there will be peace, there will be love, joy, faith, hope, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. The Holy Spirit and the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit will manifest themselves in your life. We believe in this church in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts and the presence of God being manifest. But the right order. So I'd like musicians to come back. And I want you to understand something. If there's anybody in this room, somehow you've just never put yourself under the blood. You've never just taken that simple step of faith and put yourself under the blood. You need to do that today. You need to do that today. And those of you that have, I want you to know the presence of God is abiding over you. And there are there are manifestations that flow from the anointing of the Holy Spirit that are being released in this room right now. So I want you to stand together with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.